Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for April 9th, 2008, FX Ruby.
You know, learning the mechanics of how to build an FX Ruby application or any other kind of GUI application and knowing what code you have to write is really the easy part. The harder part is learning what makes an application easy to use and intuitive.
That's Lyle Johnson, lead developer of FX Ruby. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week, Pragmatic Programmer Editor Suzanne Falzer talks to Lyle about his book, FX Ruby, Create Lean and Mean GUIs with Ruby. Johnson thinks that FX Ruby is a hard library to learn by studying the API documentation or by reading about different pieces in isolation, and that's why he's written this book. His editor, Susanna, asks how familiar you should be with Ruby and GUI programming before diving into FX Ruby.
As far as Ruby, developers should be reasonably familiar with Ruby and with object-oriented programming in general before they try to get into GUI programming with FX Ruby. There are a couple of reasons. For example, FX Ruby makes heavy use of some of Ruby's unique language features, such as block, and so you'd want to have some exposure to those, how they're used in general before you encounter them for the first time in FX Ruby. Similarly, FX Ruby makes heavy use of the idea of inheritance in object-oriented programming, where you can subclass an existing class and then the subclass inherits all of the properties and methods from its base class. Now, with respect to GUI programming experience, yes, you'd probably also want some sort of introduction to GUI programming as well before you get into FX Ruby, whether it's through this book or some other source. There are certain basic concepts like event-driven programming or the use of layout managers that are common to a lot of GUI toolkits. So if you've already done GUI development in some other programming language or with some other toolkit, you shouldn't have too much trouble getting started with FX Ruby. But on the other hand, if you've never done any GUI development, it can get difficult to get the hang of those things at first. The book doesn't assume that you have any prior experience with GUI development. You know, we introduce these ideas in a tutorial-style fashion along the way in the context of actually developing an application with FX Ruby.
Give us a quick overview of what FX Ruby is and how it works with the Fox toolkit.
Fox is a GUI toolkit that's written in the C++ programming language, and it's used by a number of commercial and open source software developers to develop C++ GUI applications. And so, you know, it existed before FX Ruby ever came along, and it has its own little community of users. When I first started learning Ruby 7 or 8 years ago, there weren't a lot of options for GUI development with Ruby. And since I was already familiar with Fox, it was a really natural thing for me to start working on Ruby bindings for Fox. So FX Ruby is an independent project, but it's very closely related to Fox, and it provides this bridge between Ruby programming and Fox programming. And Fox is a great toolkit to use because it's very fast and it uses a minimum of system resources. The downside is that, you know, until FX Ruby was available, you had to program in C++ to be able to use it. So the thing is that with FX Ruby, you get access to this great engine under the hood, but you're still able to program in Ruby.
Lyle, early in your book, you use an example of building a picture book application to get readers dealing hands-on with FX Ruby. Can you give our listeners an idea of how to use a similar type of GUI development in their own projects? Basically, where do you start and how do you build from there when getting started building a user interface?
Right. Well, you know, the approach that I use to develop that example in the book is really very much like what I do whenever I'm starting a new application. You know, I tend to start with the very simplest possible thing and try to get that working and then add to it incrementally as I go along. For me, that's not only a quick confidence builder to see something running, you know, immediately, but also, depending on who you're developing it for, it gives you something to show to your customer or your end user that much sooner so that you can get feedback from them about how well it matches their expectations. For anything other than a one-off wiki program, it's also a good idea to use what we call a model view controller approach. And that's one that makes a clear separation between the model part, which is your application data, and the view and controller parts, which are the user interface. And we go into this a little bit in the book. But one of the advantages of this loose coupling between the model and the view is that it makes it easier to test your application because you're focusing just on the model aspect of it. Another advantage is that it frees you up to provide alternative interfaces to the application if that ever makes sense. For example, in the book, we're obviously focusing on providing a GUI for the picture book application, which for the listeners, it's just a photo album manager type program. But because we develop it in this model view controller style, we could theoretically go back later and add a command line interface or a web-based interface or some other sort of user interface to the program without disturbing the original FX Ruby user interface part.
Why don't we talk about widgets a little bit? Let's start with the basics. Can you explain what widgets are and how they help users deal with the user interface in various ways?
Sure. Well, widgets are the building blocks of your application. They're little objects that you can use to build up the face of the application, and they are the hooks that give your user control over what the application is doing. And so when we're talking about widgets, we're talking about things like buttons that they can click on or lists of items that they can make selections from. Your responsibility as the programmer is not only to make sure that those widgets get displayed and placed on the screen properly, but obviously writing the code that handles how the application reacts to those when the user starts interacting with your program.
Clearly, FX Ruby gives us access to a number of widgets. Do you maybe want to give us a quick walkthrough of what people can do with FX Ruby as far as creating various user interface elements?
Generally speaking, you're going to find all of the basic widgets, labels or buttons or text fields, as well as some more advanced widgets that you wouldn't necessarily find in other toolkits. And we cover a lot of these in the book and go into detail about some of the more commonly used ones. We also spend a considerable amount of time on some of the more complicated widgets like the table widget, which provides sort of a spreadsheet view if you have some tabular data. And the reason I wanted to go into detail about these in the book is that we do get a lot of questions about some of the more complicated widgets. This gave me an opportunity to go into detail about how they work and how you can use them effectively. And it may be worth pointing out at this point, the book isn't an exhaustive, reference manual, and we don't try to cover every single widget in the book because that would be a gigantic book. But one of the great things about FX Ruby is that once you get these fundamentals down pat, it's very easy to figure out how to use a new widget.
There's also kind of a step back and more of a bigger picture as far as event-driven programming and how to use it with FX Ruby. Could you talk a little bit about that?
If you've never done any user interface application development before, switching to event-driven programming can take some getting used to. And the idea of event-driven programming is that instead of programs that proceed in a very orderly fashion, from start to finish, you start the program, you read some data, you process the data and output it, and you're done. Instead of that approach, you're developing programs that basically sit around and wait for the user to do something, to take some action. When they do that, your code gets notified that the user has taken that action, and then you need to react to that, and then you go back to waiting for something to happen. Every GUI toolkit that I've ever worked with is based on some sort of event-driven programming model, but you can implemented in a lot of different ways. Back before object-oriented programming really took off, you'd register what was known as a callback function with a widget. And whenever the user activated that widget by clicking on it or whatever, the library would know that it was supposed to call your function that you provided. Fox and FX Ruby use a more object-oriented approach that focuses on objects sending messages back and forth to each other. So when an event occurs in the user interface, such as the user clicking on a button or selecting an item in a list, the application object sends a message to the widget object that says, hey, somebody just clicked on you. And in that scenario, the application is the sender of the message and the widget is the receiver of the message. And then the widget can respond to that message in a number of ways. It will usually make some change to its internal state, and it might redraw itself to to indicate that new state. Maybe that if you selected a new list item, it may change the coloring of that item to show that it's selected. And if you supplied the widget with a target object from your own application code, the widget might go ahead and send a message to that target to let it know that the widget was just clicked on. And, of course, just as you can call different methods on objects, you can send different kinds of messages to widgets, and they react in different ways depending on what message you send to them. FX Ruby uses this target and message approach in some other ways that I think are pretty neat, other than just, you know, basic reactions to user actions. And one of the ways that we use this is what's called the automatic GUI updating mechanism. The application object will periodically send a message out to the different widgets in the user interface and ask them to update their appearance. And the widget, you know, will sometimes delegate this message out to a target who is responsible for updating the widget's appearance. An example of this would be like a word processor or a text editing application where whenever the user has modified the document, you want to enable the save button. But if they've just saved the document and there are no pending changes, you might want to disable that button. Well, in FX Ruby, you would probably structure that with this automatic GUI updating, where the application would send an update request to the save button widget, and it would ask the document object whether the document's been modified, and if it is, the save button will enable itself. Otherwise, it'll disable itself. So we use this mechanism in a lot of ways in FX Ruby. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes in an FX Ruby application, and we obviously spend a good bit of time in the book covering all of that.
Could you maybe explain just a little bit what layout managers are and what to do with them?
You know, GUI application development really started to take off when people with little or no programming experience could use a drag and drop GUI builder tool to just place widgets on a canvas at different locations, and they didn't have to write any code. And there's still a lot of value for those sorts of tools when you're prototyping different user interface concepts. But the problem with a lot of them is that they end up with fixed layouts where the positions of the widgets are very hard-coded and their sizes are hard-coded. And there are problems with this. One problem is that a fixed layout that looks fine on your 24-inch widescreen monitor could look very cramped on a 17-inch monitor that your user has at his system. You know, another problem with fixed layouts is that if your end user needs to bump up the font size so that they can read the text in your application, you could end up with that text filling out of the widgets that it's in, or widgets growing to be too large to fit into the window, and things like that. So the solution to this problem is to instead use layout managers, what we call layout managers, to automatically position and size the widgets in your application instead of hard coding those positions and sizes. So, for example, if you needed to stack a bunch of widgets on top of each other, you'd place them inside a vertical frame layout manager. If you needed to arrange them side by side, you'd use a horizontal frame. Or if you had a really large widget, maybe something that was displaying a large image and it wouldn't all fit on screen at the same time, you might put in a scrolling window layout manager. And FX Ruby provides a lot of different kinds of layout managers, and each one of them implements a different algorithm to position and size the widgets that you put inside it. And furthermore, you can mix and match these different kinds of layout managers in your application to achieve really flexible layouts that will work regardless of what sort of monitor your user's looking at, or what sort of device they're looking at, or what they do with font sizes or things like that. So it's a really way to kind of future-proof your application.
So basically, learning about FX Ruby leads readers of your book to learn about GUI design as well, and the concepts they need to get their minds around to be effective GUI designers. But once they've mastered FX Ruby, what's the next step? Where do you recommend people go to get to the next stage of user interface design? Maybe using Ruby, or maybe branching out to other tools and techniques?
You know, learning the mechanics of how to build an FX Ruby application or any other kind of GUI application, and knowing what code you have to write, is really the easy part. The harder part is learning what makes an application easy to use and intuitive. And I'm certainly not an expert on that subject, but one of the best ways, one of the most direct ways to learn is to pay attention to what it is that you like about certain applications that you use regularly and try to figure out how well-suited they are to their tasks as far as reading about it. One book that I definitely recommend, Alan Cooper's book About Face, which is a good guide to interaction design, what Alan calls interaction design. There are other books like Donald Norman's books, The Design of Everyday Things. There are also a lot of websites like Jakob Nielsen's useit.com that address usability issues. And actually, there's a lot of overlap between designing good web applications and designing good GUI applications. So there's whenever you come across references that talk about web app design, that's also a good source of design inspiration, I think.
That's Lyle Johnson, author of FX Ruby, Create Lean and Mean GUIs with Ruby, and Pragmatic Programmer Editor Suzanne Falzer on the Pragmatic Podcast. For more information on Lyle's book, visit pragprog.com. You'll find all of our podcasts at pragprog.com/podcast, and you can join the discussions at forums.pragprog.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.